Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Let's Talk To Podcast, hosted by author Sharnell Williams. Are you ready to spend some time with Sharnell and her special guest? Join our live conversation every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, here's your host, Sharnell Williams.
Hello, hello, hello. How y'all doing this evening? Thank y'all for tuning in. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Just to let y'all know a little bit about me, my name is Sharnell Williams, born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. We're going to get right to the point because we got a, a special guest on. Like I say, all y'all, everybody who come on my show is a special guest. So don't take it personally, but I have a special guest on tonight, and we're going to get on. We're going to tell y'all a little bit about herself, tell y'all about, a little bit about what she do. And I hope y'all can hear me clear. I'm trying to fix my microphone. One second. I see a couple of my friends on Facebook. If y'all can hear me clear, could y'all please let me know, inbox me, let me know that I sound all right. Because you know you don't ever know until somebody mention it. So I just hope I sound good. I'm just adjusting my microphone. But thank y'all for doing it. Christmas, y'all. Do y'all believe Christmas is next week? Next Saturday is Christmas. And could y'all believe the weather out there today? The weather is great. For those who know me know I hate the winter time. I hate it. So for me, the weather is great. Does this sound like I'm echoing a little bit, y'all? Let me fix. I'm just trying to fix my microphone. Then I'm going to bring my guest on one second. I just hear an echo in the background. Do y'all hear that echo? Do y'all hear the echo? I hope not. Let me see. Okay. I'm about to bring my guest on. Nobody ain't hit me on Facebook and let me know that they hear an echo or could they hear me. If y'all can hear me, please just say something in my inbox. Let me know. I only need one person to just say they can hear me loud and clear. But it just seems like I hear an echo. But let's bring. Okay, y'all could hear me. Yeah. Y'all know this live stuff. So we're going to bring E.L. Hall on. She's going to tell y'all a little bit about herself. So I want y'all to welcome her to the Let's Talk To podcast. This is my first time. I know, I think I interviewed her before. But let's just bring her on and she'll tell us. One second.
Hi, how's everything?
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, thank you for being on Let's Talk To the podcast, and I would like to let you tell the audience a little bit about yourself. Who are you, and where are you from?
Okay, so my name is LaShawn, but everyone calls me Elle, and I'm a New Yorker, but I live in Florida now. But I live in Florida now, you know. I never give up my New York status, though, you know.
That's right. I know that's right.
I write. I'm an author. I currently have a program called Candidly Elle's Write and Wine, and I love working with other writers. I'm an educator. What else? That's pretty much it.
Okay. So, y'all, again, let's just welcome LaShawn to the show. So, as you say, you're a writer. You've been in my anthology, so I know that you write for a fact.
Yes.
You're good at it. So,
thank you.
Let's talk about your writing. Like, do you have your own novel out yet?
Yes, I actually do have a novel out. It's called Retribution. And I have a couple of children books out. I shouldn't say kids, but children books out.
Okay, so you have several books.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have several books out. That's great. Now, how long have you been writing?
You know what? Honestly, I've been writing all my life, but how long when did I start taking it seriously? When I walked away from teaching. So I would say that was about 2018. So I left the classroom. I wouldn't necessarily say I left teaching completely, but I did leave out of the classroom because I wanted to focus more on my writing and building my business. So, you know, I would say then that's when I really got serious about it.
Now, what year was your first book published?
Okay, so my book was published in 2010, and then I republished it. I rebranded it and republished it again in 2019.
Okay. That's great.
So there's a long story. It's a long story behind that one.
Well, we're going to get into that because I see it's a lot of authors, well, writers. I call them writers because they haven't published a book yet. So I'm leaving it as writers. So it's a lot of writers on here listening. So we're going to get into the do's and the don'ts at the end of the show.
Definitely.
So we have to, we have to let our authors know, our upcoming authors know. So for you, you have several hats. You said do you own your own business?
Yes. So I started my own self-publishing company. Majority of the material that's coming out is from me and family members, but I'm trying to branch out. You know, it's all new, so it's all good.
Oh, that's right. That's right. What made you, because you wrote several books, what made you want to get into starting your own publishing company?
Just because of what I went through back in 2010. So, you know, I decided, you know what, let me educate myself and then come back in, and that's what I did.
Oh, okay. See, that's good. That's good because a lot of authors don't think
like that.
You know, so
sometimes you have to walk away. Yeah, sometimes you have to, like, not walk away, but step back, you know, and take a good look at yourself and see what you may be missing, what you may have to, you know, brush up on. Yeah, and that's what I did.
Yeah, it's just like stepping back a little bit to observe and learn more things, you know.
Yep.
That's what a lot of people do, to step back and learn. But as authors, each day we are learning something new.
Definitely.
So I don't think
the
learning ain't going to ever stop because it always going to come something new for these authors, for us as authors. There always going to be something. So I just like, when I learned the other day, I was like, wow, I ain't even know this. I got to think that because me and a lady was talking, and I want to shout her out, Miss White, because she's going to be one of my speakers at my empowerment. And she was telling me about business credit cards. You know, like we were talking about the business credit card stuff. So it's just like, wow, I didn't know, like, certain things when you have a business credit card that you can have, like, to promote your business and do other things with your business without going into your personal credit card. And like
exactly.
I'm learning as I go. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We're all learning as we go. So getting back to you, you said you write children books. How many children books have you written, and what made you get into children books?
Well, again, like I said, I'm an educator, and so the majority of my teaching career, I've worked with the babies, I would say K through five. And what I noticed
was there wasn't a lot of material with people of color as the focus. So that's one thing I wanted to do. When I decided to do it, I started to see more people of color writing and publishing their stories, and I was like, that's awesome. You know, I'm seeing it now. And I just think that that's awesome, you know, and I think that our children need to see themselves in books.
Right. Oh, that's great. So was you nervous about doing it? Because a children's book is way different from a novel.
Yes. Yes.
So was you nervous publishing your first children's book?
You know what? I don't know if I was nervous. I think I was excited. I would think I was excited. I think I had a lot of fun doing the first one. And it's a lot of work. You know, to get the right illustrator that's going to work with you. To really bring your story to fruition. You know, it takes time. It's not like something you can just wake up one day and go, oh, yeah, this is what I'm going to do. No.
Right.
It takes time.
Right.
And you have to have the patience to build it from the beginning to the end, you know.
Right.
And children, and as adults, you know, we talk in one way and we write in one way. But when we write for children, we have to be conscious about, you know, the words we're using and how we're coming across. So, yeah.
Right. So, how many children's books you said you got out? Okay.
All right. So, right now I have, there are two. One is in a process and I have a series that I'm building on, actually, called Fractured Fairy Tales and Scrambled Stories, right.
Oh, wow,
right.
That's great. So what do you love doing most?
Okay, so honestly, I love writing novels mostly, and I just finished up fantasy. And that is my favorite genre. I was afraid to get into that genre. I love reading it. I love, you know, watching it on TV, you know, or going to the movies, and you know, I'm just a huge fantasy and sci-fi person. But I was afraid to write from that standpoint, you know. But I did it. So
yeah. Wow.
I'm kind of proud of myself. My critique and I didn't title it yet. But I will tell you that I just completed it, and my critique group and I are we're going through it now, you know, editing it and putting little final touches on it and everything. But I will tell you that the main character, her name is Alaysia, and she is something else.
And I'm just thinking because there's not a lot of authors that write and then do the title last. They do the title, and that's what they write off of the title, the outline.
I never do that. I never title my stuff. I never title anything I write. The title always comes out last for me. I don't know why. But I've never, like, titled something and then, you know, worked through it like that. I never did. The only time I actually did that was with you in the anthology because, you know, you gave us the title, but other than that, And I think I find it easier for me, like, to work that way.
So what's your steps? How do you come up with the title? since you saved the title for last, how do you come up with one?
Sometimes what happens is if I'm writing a short story or poetry or, you know, if I'm working on a novel, it will come as I'm writing. Like, it'll start forming in some sort of way. And then I'll start jotting down ideas, you know. So by the time I'm finished, I'll have a couple of ideas of titles. And then I often go back and select the one that I feel is best fitted for the whatever it was that I wrote.
Oh, that's great, because I was like, I'm trying to think, have I ever did a title last? I don't even recall, like, doing a manuscript or an anthology manuscript and doing a title last. I don't recall that.
So, I mean, like, I'll give you an example. I recently wrote a poem, right? You know, sometimes I just, you know, I get up and I feel like I'm in the mood for writing, but maybe not necessarily wanting to focus on my novel or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I need to walk away from it sometimes, right? And so I recently did a poem, and I did the complete poem, and at the end, I named it, I went back and I named it This I Know. So, like, I did the poem and went back and I wrote the title as This I Know. This I Know came to me at the very, like, at the very end of the poem.
Wow. That's amazing.
I know that's a little weird, right? But I've always written like that. I don't know why, but I just do.
Oh, wow.
And since, I think, too, because I write by the seat of my pants, I'm a pantser. That's what they call them. maybe that might have something to do with it. I have no idea. But, yeah, I don't title my stuff.
That's good, because each author works differently.
Mm-hmm.
Each author works differently, and that's good. And then sometimes you can learn from, matter of fact, all the time you can learn from authors. Different ways that they writing and crafting, and, you know, they outline. You know, you learn from others, too. So that's the that's the good thing.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
That's
the
good thing.
Now, I agree.
Since
I have.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say that I have. I'm a part of two critique groups, and I've learned so much from the people in the critique groups than I ever did sitting in the classroom. Mm. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Or taking a course or something. You know, one critique group is filled with authors, published authors,
mm-hmm.
and the other critique group is more newbies, but it's focused with the particular genre, the fantasy sci-fi genre. And
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I've learned so much from just being a part of those two groups than I did
mm-hmm.
taking any courses or classes or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. So are the groups on Facebook or Instagram? Some type of
well, it's so funny. The genre group, we all met taking a course together.
Mm.
And just you know, we blended and just now we're just, you know, we work together.
Mm-hmm.
We go over each other's work and, you know, it's a really, really nice group. The other group, actually, I live out here in Florida, and so I was going to the meetings prior to the pandemic and everything. So, but now
mm-hmm.
we do everything via Zoom, because of the, you know, because of the pandemic and everything. But prior to that, we met. We would meet up.
Oh, okay. So now we're going to get into anthologies. Because you worked in two of my anthologies, right? Or just one? Two, right? Yeah.
One. No, one. No, just one. Yes.
Why did you get into two of my anthologies? Why I'm thinking two?
I don't know. I don't know, but I wish I were a part of two of them.
Oh, okay.
Because,
so you did one of them.
Yeah, because the one I was a part of, that was so much fun.
Yeah, and I love doing the doggy. Me and the lady was talking, was it yesterday? And she was like, Shana, when are you doing your next dology? Because my next dology coming up is called, it's a part two of the first one, Mother's Worst Nightmare. So she's kind of scary and leery. She said, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't want that type of anthology. So I said, okay, 2 weeks is on. But I'm going to have one next year. So, and I told her, mm-hmm. she can't be scared. Just let her pen do the writing. She said, I never thought about, writing, like, mystery and stuff. I wanted to do that because I just love Lifetime movies, you know? I love Lifetime movies.
What?
I love that ending. So I just wanted to do a mystery and a thriller anthology. So from all I'm still kind of puzzled because I always thought you did two anthologies. The anthology I know that you did was the I'm just getting a book. It's me. I Refuse to Look Back. So Be It. So in this anthology, what did you get out of doing the first anthology? Because remind you, I thought you did too. But what did you get out of it? What was your experience?
Well.
Okay, y'all, her call dropped. She will be back on. So, yeah, I'm thinking like she's been in two of my anthologies, but she hasn't. Wow. It's just that so many people come in and do my anthologies. It's just that I just thought that she was in a couple, like two of them. So I don't know where I got that from. I don't really know, but y'all call dropped. I'm just waiting for her to call back in, and I see that she just dialed back in. 1 second, let me put her back on. Hello?
Oh, yes, I'm here. Yes, okay. I don't know what happened. My call dropped.
Yeah, I see.
So you was asking me what did I get out of writing, being a part of the anthology.
Yeah.
Well, when I first saw your advertisement for it, I was like, well, you know what? For me, it's always about just getting to know other writers and, mm-hmm. you know, in that way. So that's how I looked at it initially. And then when I learned what the title was, I was like, you know what? I really felt like I had something to say. So, you know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, with everything that occurred, you know, writing an anthology or being a part of the anthology, rather, one of the best parts of being a part of the anthology actually was meeting you. I mean, I learned, again, you learn a lot when you talk with other people. And I've learned
mm-hmm.
quite a few things, you know, talking with you and working
mm-hmm.
with you and everything. So, yeah. It was a good thing for me to be a part of.
Good experience for
me to be a part of.
So the anthology, the book is called I Refuse to Look Back, So Be It. And your title
mm-hmm.
is called Chocolate Drop and Butterscotch Lollipop. First of all. you did the writing first in this one and then did the title. How did you come up with the title? And tell the people a little bit about your chapter in the book.
So the like I said, I never like grab my title or get a title and it works from that way. But in a process
uh-huh.
of me writing, and I got to the point where the character was discussing the names that the father called her and her little cousin, and that is
mm-hmm.
where I got the title from.
So the story
was based on black people of color looking at you know, the people arguing about, oh, she's light or she's dark, colorism, you know. Mm-hmm. And my daughter is, you know, she's a sweet brown baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she experienced a lot of colorism here in Florida. And I think that was the thing that stuck out to me the year that you decided you wanted to do this anthology. And so I think that's why I felt like I had a lot to say. You know.
Watching her
go through some of the things that she was going through in high school and everything. I was like, you know what? I think that there's a lot of issues outside of, you know, typical things that people of color deal with, right? We have issues inside of our own culture that we need to talk about, you know?
And that is so true. And a lot of authors, because I think I think probably like seven or over seven anthologies, you know, with Shasha Publishing. I had like, I met a few writers and authors, because a lot of them is first-time writers. You know what I'm saying? And everybody asked me, why you mess with first-time writers? Like, because I was a first-time writer. You was a first-time writer. Somebody had to give you a chance. Why not, you know, extend that and give other people chances? You understand what I'm saying? Everybody was a first-time something in their life. If you opened up a beauty salon and had your first beauty salon, that was your first time. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Right. You have to get in. With me, I love giving people chances. Like, it's a couple of writers. Well, I'm going to call them authors now that was in my anthology, never written a book before. Never. You understand what I'm saying? So I gave them a chance. And a lot of people, like, I got backlash. And was like, why are you put this person in that she never wrote? I don't see nothing she wrote. Well, you see this, that she wrote. You understand what I'm saying? It's the first time. Mm-hmm. We can't judge people because they never had that opportunity. I'm giving them that opportunity.
Right, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's what I mean by having learned so much from you, you know?
I just love what I do. I love helping people. I love letting people, you know, everybody have a story to tell. Everybody. But would everybody give that person a shot to tell it? You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
I know editors
don't
even work with first-time writers. They're like,
this is
her first time. I don't want to. She don't know how to put the period here. She don't know how to do this.
I found me
an editor.
And now they are, you know, what I'm experiencing now, what I'm seeing now is they want to know followers you have and, you know, what is your social media presence like? So if you don't have a big following or, you know, things of that nature, they will pass you by. And you can have an amazing story.
Right. And you know what? I don't phase that. That don't bother me because you don't know, and I'm going to give you experience. You don't know, like, when I first started my Women's Empowerment event, all the authors, like, I think I had 10 authors, like, three of them didn't come. I was so upset. Three of them didn't come. And then I think I only had, like, 25 people in the audience. I was, like, mad. Because a lot of people bought the ticket to show support, which I understand that. Don't get me wrong. I understood they couldn't be there, but they're going to purchase the ticket anyway. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But a lady told me, one of the speakers told me, Charnel, it's not how many people that shows up. It's how many people you touch with your story. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying this
that
to say
is
this.
Right.
Just because they never wrote a book before and they can have 5 followers. You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
And then it's word of mouth anyway. Those numbers don't mean a thing. To me, it don't mean a thing. And when I ask people, have you ever written a book before, I don't put them down like, oh, I don't want them in my anthology because they never written a book before. I ask them so I can know once I get their manuscript what I'm dealing with.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Somebody who never wrote something before and somebody who wrote something before, I can like put it together and see what I'm dealing with. Like for you, you wrote before. So I pay attention to your work, but I'm not going to pay attention that good to your work, that pay attention really to your work, that as I pay for a first time that never written before. I have to really go over her work really good. Me and my editor got to get together. But I'm not going to say, no, you can't be in my, you know, you can't be there, because I want to help you. I want to bring a smile on your face, too. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, everybody,
exactly.
And number thing, like the lady asked me, she wanted to be on my show. Well, how many followers you had? I don't know. I don't care about that. I don't look. If you want to be on my show, you want to be on my show. Sometimes people tune in because of the person who's on my show. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I don't
know.
You know, I don't know how many people.
You know,
it don't matter. It don't matter.
And then people tune in because they, you know, are interested in what you're doing as far as your business is concerned as well. So, I mean.
Right. And then some people don't even tune in for me. They know, like, LaShawn Hall going to be on here. They tune in because of you. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not all about my followers. It's about that person that gets. Like, who want to tune in, want to hear her story, want to hear what she got to say about. That's why I told her, I was like,
exactly.
I don't know. I don't know. Who is your people? You know, your people, my people might tune in, but you might not compare to my people. They might not even like you. Where are your people at?
Right.
You don't get what I'm saying? Yeah, where are your people at? Where are you going to know how many people listen to the show? We'll see how many people listen to the show after the show. We want to see if your people come on and my people come on. But the most important thing is your people coming on.
Like, and at the end of
the
day, did you touch somebody? Did you reach somebody?
Right.
You know?
Right. It ain't about the numbers. To me, it ain't about the numbers. I know a lot of people talking about the numbers. I had a lady talk about something. She wanted me to be on her magazine. And she did ask me, well, your Instagram, what is your Instagram stuff? I don't know. I don't look at that. I just post them. When I do, got something going on, I post it. That's all I do. And sometimes I go back to read the comments, read and see how many people like it and stuff. But I don't, like, oh, junk, I got 15 followers today. Let me see how many followers I got tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? That's not my thing.
Right.
I don't care.
Right. If I have something to say, I post. If I don't, I don't, you know?
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it's just
it is
like
it
people
is, you know?
Drive me crazy with that. And I was telling my husband, I was like, she's going to ask me how many then. He was like, well, let's see when she do the show. Let's see how many people join. Because some people just want join in for the guests. Because I know I do that. If WBLS say, like if WBLS say they're going to have Mary J. Blige join. Like, I ain't listened to WBLS all week. But if they say they're going to have Mary J. Blige on it, I'm listening to
WBLS. I'm listening to
WBLS
it, yes.
Said that. You understand what I'm saying? But people don't get
that. Yes, exactly.
People
don't
get
it. No.
That. You know?
No.
So I was like, it don't matter. Yep. It's who you have on your show. It really does matter. It's who you have on your show.
Yep.
Who's following you? Is your followers going to follow you and listen to the show? Don't worry about how many followers I got, because my followers might not even like you. You understand what I'm saying? What you worrying about my people for? What about dope people? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's just like crazy how people just, like, we all numbers now. We used to always think, like, going to jail, you get a number. But now we all get a number. We all numbers. Like, you got to have 1,800 people to be on the magazine. You got to have 2,000 followers to be on this. Be on that.
Yeah.
I think that
sort of mind frame, that sort of thinking it scares away some really great writers.
People.
You know?
Right.
It
so
really
I'm
does.
Open.
It really
you
does.
Know, I'm open. You know, you could be, and people tell you that. I talk to that in my book. I'm open for first time. I'm not going to knock them. Look at Champagne, how good Champagne doing. She got a series. She was a first time author on my publishing company. Now she got series on Ruko. You understand what I'm saying? She turned her book into a series. A first time author.
See?
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And all it took
was somebody to say, you know what, come on, you know?
Yeah, she turned her first book. That book that under Charche Publishing. She turned that book into a series. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
I don't care about your numbers. If you want to come on my show, come on my show. We'll see the numbers after the show. I don't know who want to listen.
Right, exactly.
You know, because my,
in the
like
process,
I just said,
yeah,
my people might not like your business. that's all it's all about. So people, if you're listening, get that out there. Head numbers ain't nothing but a number. Come on now.
It's not that serious.
You understand what I'm saying? It's not that serious.
Because at the end of the day, right, if you're worth reading, if your work is worth reading, if you, people are interested, they're going to come at the end of the day.
Right. You know? So all that junk, that lady, I should call her name out, but I ain't going to do that. I ain't that petty.
No, don't
but
do that.
All that junk she talked about, she's like, but you know, you got to have a certain amount of followers. You got to do this. I was like, I don't got to do nothing but stay black and die. That's all I got to do. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to be on my show, be on my show. If you don't be on it. I don't care. Don't be on my show. My show will still continue and go on with you or without you. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep,
so,
exactly.
Forget about the do's and the don'ts. Let's go back to the office because I'm starting to, like, do a little sweating out here. It's getting hot back here. So the do's and the don'ts. What do you have to say to the new writers or authors? Because, like I said, we learn every day. Give us a couple of do's and then give us a couple of don'ts.
Would tell them, write every day. Write every day. You know, I mean, even if it's just a couple of words, you know. You don't have to focus on, like, my novel. I wrote my novel, and I'm working on another novel. And sometimes I don't feel like writing, or I just, it's just not coming to me, but I will write something. Like I said, I wrote the poem. I will write every day, you know, because it's like an exercise, you know what I mean? So write every day. Don't allow people to discourage you at all. Yeah. You know, you have to be your own greatest, you know, the person that cheers you on. You have to be your own greatest,
supporter. You have to support yourself.
You have to applaud yourself. Right. You have to say, yay, hey, I did that. You know what I mean? You have to do it. And don't look for other people to do it. Right. Because if you don't give yourself that support and you look for it in others, you may find out that you're pretty unhappy, you know?
Right.
You know, it's nothing wrong with getting support from your family and friends, but you have got to have the strength to do it, to be your own, to be your own support. And if you want to write a book, do it. Absolutely. Take your time and go right out there and do it if you want to write the book, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to do it.
Mm.
I think that's my top three, my two do's and my one don't. Don't let anybody
discourage you.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's for me is the biggest thing because I did allow that to happen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know what? I forgot about this one. Be very careful who you bring into your circle.
Right.
Right? Because that's what happened with me in 2010, me thinking that this person, you know, was it's someone I could work with and, you know, because I was new. I didn't know what I was doing. And I found out that, no, that was, like, the worst decision I made.
I know that happened to one of my authors that she did trust one of the authors that was in my anthology, not one of them that signed to my publishing company, that she trusted her preacher and gave the preacher her manuscript. And she never gave her manuscript back. She said she lost it or whatever, which I think was a lie. So she had to start over from scratch. But then she found out her preacher wrote a book. And all of that was in the book. That was her story. So her teacher sold the manuscript. Her pastor sold the manuscript. And a long story short, you know, now it's hard for her to trust. She don't trust nobody. Because if you can't trust the pastor, you understand what I'm saying? Like, who could you trust? You know? So now it's hard. Yeah, so and I had to get her back into, like, writing. And I told her, she learned. And I felt as though you shouldn't show everybody your manuscript. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because then it confuses you. Because just imagine if you show your sister your manuscript, you show your best friend your manuscript, you show your husband your manuscript, all three of them going to have something different to say about your manuscript. Then they're going to have you think.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying?
That's right.
They're
going to
have, and they're going to confuse you.
Second guessing yourself.
You got to take
that's
that
right.
out.
And second,
you should take this
second
out.
Second guessing.
And you know what?
That's right.
Right. Second guessing. And you know what? The main thing, none of them got to write a book. None of them ain't never wrote a book before. But on top of that,
what happens is the story becomes there. It's no longer yours.
Right. Amen. Yes. So they got to reach out for that, and you know, just be aware of your surroundings and stop letting all the naysayers in your ear that don't know nothing. You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Change your whole story. Absolutely. Like, I want to take this whole thing out the book. Oh no. Well, my best friend. I don't care who's your best friend. What this story is saying in this book. Your best friend. So, you know, so it's a lot. It makes people change their ways. So, that was funny. But if people want to get, before I let you go, if people want to get in touch with you and reach out to you, how can they do that?
All right. So you can contact me at CandidlyL.com. That's Candidly, CandidlyL.com. They can contact me on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, all under Candidly L. I do Candidly L's Write and Wine. And, that you mentioned that. I love working with writers as well. And because I'm an educator, I tend to do a lot of learning or teaching things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do Candidly L. So writers
can just
jump in, and we do rerun sprints and all of that. So that's another way I do that on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a podcast called Candid in Law.
Oh, okay.
And the
podcast
you can find, Candid, C-A-N-D-I-D, and Law, R-A-W.
Have I ever been on your podcast? No, right?
No, but I've been trying to get you on.
We need to set that up. I would love to do that. We have to set. And you do yours. You still do yours live, right?
Right.
We need to set that up.
My best friend. My best friend and I, we do Candid and Raw. And listen, it's no holds bar. We talk about anything and everything. Whatever the person
I listen to the show one day. But, wow. So y'all got her information, how to reach out to her. And, you know, maybe y'all can be a guest on her show. You know, you never know.
I always look forward to talking with other writers and or authors.
So y'all reach out to her and give her a shout out or something on Facebook. Inbox her on Facebook and let her know that you're interested in her book or her story. And I just want to thank you so much. We got to do this again because it seemed like time went by fast.
It did.
So we have to
do
this again. And I want to thank you so much for being on my show. And behind the scenes, we're going to talk because I want to be on your show. So we're going to talk. And I just want to thank you again.
Thank you.
And enjoy the rest. And Merry Christmas to you and everybody.
Oh,
thank you for tuning in. And Merry Christmas.
New Year.
Enjoy. Thank you all so much.
All right.
And good night.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Talk 2 Podcast with author Sharnell Williams. Tune in next time every Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And don't forget to live, laugh, and love.